punctuation. We think of it as a topic only a linguist could love. Fresh Air's own linguist, Jeff Nunberg, wants to share his love for great punctuation because punctuation has been getting a raw deal for decades.
I was telling a friend the other day that I was getting bogged down in the middle of the new Philip Roth novel, but that I always give Roth the benefit of the doubt. "What do you see in him?" she asked. I said something about his intelligence and energy, and then, because that sounded kind of vague, I added, "Also, he's a great punctuator." I realized that this puts me solidly in what you could think of as the Stradlaterian school of literary aesthetics. You remember Stradlater, Holden Caulfield's roommate at Prensy Prep. He asks Holden to write an English composition for him, and then adds, "Just don't do it too good is all. Don't stick in all the commas and all in the right place." And Holden says to the reader, "That's something that gives me a royal pain. I mean, if you're good at writing compositions and somebody starts talking about commas." It wasn't until years after I read The Catcher in the Rye that it occurred to me how odd it was that Holden should assume that an interest in punctuation was a sign of the literary Philistine, or that the rest of us should so readily agree. But just imagine a composer getting huffy because somebody suggests that the art of musical composition has something to do with putting rests in the right places. How did we get to the point where even our composition handbooks deal with punctuation under the heading of mechanics? One reason why we moderns can take punctuation for granted is that we've shrunk the playing field to the point where the game doesn't seem to be much of a challenge anymore. Our sentences have gotten so short and so simple that punctuation seems to have a lot less work to do in holding them together. The tendency's easy to document. Not long ago, the sociologist Todd Gitlin wrote a piece in The Nation where he reported a study he'd done that showed that the length of the average sentence in novels on the New York Times bestseller list has decreased by more than 25% over the last 60 years, while the average number of punctuation marks per sentence has dropped by more than half. But what should we make of this? Gitlin made no secret of his view when he called his article "The Dumb Down." But that doesn't necessarily follow, and in any event, the tendency isn't limited to popular books. To satisfy my curiosity, I made my own little study, but instead of looking at bestsellers, I looked at the prestigious journal Science. The effect was the same. Over the last 100 years, the average sentence has gotten markedly shorter, and the number of punctuation marks per sentence has decreased by half. But you wouldn't describe that as a dumbdown. At least, I don't know anybody who would say that Science has become an easier read over the past century. Serious fiction is no exception. It's true there are still a lot of writers who are at ease with the complex sentence rhythms of classical fiction. You think particularly of English writers like Salman Rushdie, Martin Amis, or of David Lodge, who turns this ornate syntax on and off at will. But most American writers come to the dinner table holding only a comma and a dash to chop up their thoughts with. And that's not to mention writers like Raymond Carver, who seem to think of sentences as a kind of finger food, that every comma he had to stick in was a small defeat for minimalism. When you mention simplified punctuation, people immediately start to talk about Hemingway. But there's nothing particularly Hemingway-esque about most modern prose fiction, even if it's held together with the same spare set of resources. You can do an astonishing range of voices with nothing but commas and dashes to work with, the deft pirouettes of Laurie Moore, the ambling periods of David Foster Wallace, the jagged riffs of Don DeLillo, or for that matter, the deceptively rambling chatter of J.D. Salinger. Still, I have a weakness for writers who build up their sentences with a full panoply of tools, writers who aren't diffident about occasionally dropping a semicolon into the middle of a parenthetical. That sort of punctuational virtuosity has a particular appeal in a writer like Roth, who manages to do it in first-person narratives that don't evoke the august impersonal rhythms of 19th-century writers like George Eliot or Meredith. For all its complexity, it's a decidedly conversational and modern voice. You have the sense of watching thoughts as they ramify, double back on themselves, break up and come together again. They're like little prose arias, and I sometimes stop to go back and hear them over again. The sentence is the expression of a complete thought. That's what Mr. Painter taught us back in the 9th grade, and I've been noodling it over ever since. You wouldn't think there could be so many different ways of putting thoughts together, so many right places to stick in commas, and so many wrong ones.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.